I can give you a friend. Whatever you have spoken, he has sworn to be comforted to by this friend of distress. I have committed a great offense by insulting you, and was puffed up by the justice of the position of the king. For this, I have certainly become an offender, therefore I pray that you come in again, so you will get past this verse. If you do so, I can be relieved from sinful activities, broken down by the thought of you. Since you turn him off the world, I have come to the Bible, and the teacher of the spiritual activities. If any of the Bible is concerned, and that elephant can destroy an entire garden which is in the one may attain the topmost rank from both themselves, but somehow or other, if he offends the Vaishnava, the whole structure collapses. Unconsciously, can no one offend the Jagat? The details of the sense lasts the most good. This is the process by which one can be relieved from a passion of guilt. Krishna is always very simple, and by nature merciful, and one commits an offense at the feet of Vaishnava, and must immediately apologize for such a personality, so that his spiritual advancement may not be hindered. It is clear that Maharaj Rahugan was pious by nature. But he certainly was respectful to the Brahmins and saintly persons. But at the same time, he had become bewildered by this Narada Abhimana, or this consciousness that he was the Naradeva, the one in whose body all the demigods resided, the king. So such as the ruler, as the representative of the Supreme Lord and the demigods, he was taking himself a little bit too serious. He was. And the result was that he began to become disrespectful towards other living beings. Whenever we have a position, the tendency is there to change. We see it in our movement also, as soon as one gets a post, it's become a different person. Because posts of government or respect are like that they give us immediately a position of superiority over others, and it's just very easy to become. Sometimes it is said that one can recognize a great man how he treats a small man, and yes, that's exactly what was the case with Maharaj Rahugan. He saw Jagat Bharat as not a very elevated person, not even tortured person, basically
a low-class person, a person without intelligence, and therefore the king felt that he could use such a person according to his own needs and discretion and so on. But that, of course, in itself is a transgression of the laws of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When we are looking at the third verse of the Sikshastakam, which is our central guideline for humility, then we see that in that verse it is mentioned that one should be ready to offer respect to all others. All others, it doesn't say to all other Vaishnavas or to anything like that. No distinction is made to all others. So that attitude to be respectful everywhere and anywhere in any situation is truly the liberated platform, and therefore the platform that is free from madness. King was speaking about Nara Deva Abhiman Madena, the madness that came about by this consciousness. So Jagbarat was exactly afraid of that kind of madness. Jagbarat himself, for that reason, was acting as if he was Jagat, dull. It's translated Dolbarat. What is dull? Dolbarat. Jagbarat was dull. He was not responding, didn't seem to notice anything. Like that, you seem to be less intelligent. But we see that Jagbarat, although he was very careful, because he had recognized the dangers of the material energy, and that the material energy is such that one changes by association with the material energy. It is said that anyone who engages in sense gratification immediately becomes selfish. It's the natural result of sense gratification, because one becomes attached to sense enjoyment, and as a result, one's own sense enjoyment becomes more important than anything else. And therefore, selfishness takes over, and others' needs and concerns become secondary. And then this tendency becomes extreme. Then we get the demoniac mentality. Aham bodhi iswaro aham. I am the enjoyer, I am the controller. That becomes then the dominant mentality. And then we have an example of Agasura, and it said that Agasura was seeing other living beings like utensils. They were just utensils. There was no feeling, not zero feeling towards any living being. They were utensils. Then we can come to the extreme form of selfishness in the demonic mentality. Maharaj Rahugana was certainly not on that platform. Maharaj Rahugana had good qualities in the sense that he was pious and therefore inclined to respect the Brahmanas. His weakness was that he was proud and that he had insufficient knowledge. He didn't have a clear understanding of the goal of life. In the case of Indra, who had become proud of his position and who had decided to destroy the residents of Vrindavan because they had made the offerings to, that were meant for him to Govardhan instead. It is said then Krishna lifted Govardhan, and subsequently Indra was extremely angry, and with a thunderbolt he had battered Govardhan Hill for the entire week. Now, personally seated on Airavata coming down and trying to destroy Govardhan. So he was extremely angry, and later Krishna Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary mentions that Krishna was inspecting Govardhan Hill to see the damage that Indra had done. So then Indra also sort of appeared there, and Krishna then saw and said, Indra, how could you act in such a way? I mean, you're supposed to be a devotee. Yeah? And Indra said, I became proud. She said, yes, but one is supposed to curb pride with intelligence. And then Indra said, yes, but I became angry, so all intelligence was lost. That's the case. Anyway, it is interesting that pride is meant to be curbed with intelligence. With intelligence, the definition of what is intelligence is, in the Vedic literature, is not exactly the same as the modern definition of intelligence, which is about putting square blocks in round holes or square blocks in square holes and things like this. The Vedic definition has to do with understanding the goal of life. Intelligence means one understands the goal of life and one acts accordingly. That is intelligence. So Maharaj Rahugan didn't understand the goal of life. Therefore his intelligence was not clear. The Dhamma Buddhi Yogam Tham is Krishna who gives us intelligence. It is the general populace doesn't know. The general populace has no idea that the ultimate goal of life is to serve the Supreme Lord, Krishna. And thus, the blind are leading the blind, and in this way people remain bound up in the three modes of material nature. So, in this way, the king was actually, although pious, not entirely qualified to lead people at large. So we see that even in the Vedic culture, not all kings were clearly understanding the goal of life and so on. And even then, it was rare. Even then, Bhavanam Janmanam Te Gyanavaram Kadavati. Even then, after many births, only could one understand. Even then, Manushyanam Sahasresu Kasyapyapati Sivaye. Even then, out of many thousands among men, hardly one would endeavor for perfection. And out of thousands of those, hardly one would know the goal of life. So, in this way, the king was bewildered. It is at that point that the king began to misbehave and speak out wrong, that John Wyatt decided to give up his silence, which he had maintained throughout his life. He had maintained that silence, but now he was giving up this silence for a higher purpose. The king is not just an individual, but the king is guiding the population of the entire kingdom. And therefore, for the welfare of the people at large, Jacques Barat, out of compassion, was prepared to speak. Jacques Barat, so far, had been the most renounced person. Where do we find anybody on that level of renunciation? Jacques Barat didn't need any external system to help him in renunciation. We do. We are all wearing our devotional outfits, tilak, big neck beads, and so many attributes to kind of assure that we make a distinction from worldly life, and that we clearly protect ourselves from worldly influence in our life. That's the reason. And Jagarat was not taking any shelter in any such external support mechanisms. Jagarat was simply deeply, deeply renounced from within and consequently refusing material entanglement on any level. Jagarat, obviously, as we heard in a previous life, was a highly evolved devotee who had come to a platform of bhava even, but by neglect of his devotional practices, he had fallen down, become material, and then in this life he came back. So, Jagbarat had remembrance of previous lives, and we can understand that Jagbarat didn't just have some sort of remembrance in the sense of remembrance of the facts, but Jagbarat also had remembrance of the emotions and of the realizations. And therefore, Jagbarat had obviously reconnected with his previous state of great spiritual advancement. And therefore, we can understand that Jagbarat's source of strength for that extraordinary renunciation was not just fear of Maya, but that simultaneously it was a deep devotional relationship with the Supreme Lord in Bhava. But it was that Jagbarat's renunciation was therefore nourished. Because renunciation that is not nourished, renunciation that exists only on the strength of determination, and that is not nourished by attachment to Krishna, doesn't have much chance of survival. It is said, Balavan Indriyam Granola Vibhansama Pikarasati. The senses are so strong that even one who is learned is still struggling. So in that way, unless one has developed deep attachment to serving Krishna, and unless one is absorbed in relishing hearing about Krishna, chanting the name of Krishna, serving Krishna, thinking about Krishna, meditating on Krishna, unless one has come to these things, how can one be renounced? Or to translate it in a more practical way, how can one stay a devotee? How can one actually survive in spiritual life over the years without falling? How is it possible unless we develop that attachment to Krishna? Such attachment is attained in devotional service to Krishna by making a sacrifice in devotional service. It's not just attained by automatic grace only, but by endeavor on the side of the devotee. And therefore, although we are comfortable in the hurt, although we have joined a movement and the tendency is to go on automatic pilot, although the tendency is to just sort of go along with the Joneses, look left, look right, and do what everybody else does, still, that's not really what's supposed to happen. One is supposed to very seriously endeavor to attain the stage of perfection in devotional service. And every individual has that responsibility. One small anecdote that comes to mind is how Srila Prabhupada, it was late in the evening, and Srila Prabhupada sat down to the translation book at 11 o'clock at night. So he invited the devotee, Brahmachari, to come and sit with him. He said, "Come and sit with me, translator." He said, "Srila Prabhupada, it's very late now. I have to go to bed. I'm very tired. So if it can be excused, I would appreciate it." Then he said that, and Prabhupada said, then the devotee said, he said, "No, he said, but I'm not going to sleep. I'm not going to sleep. Why do you have to sleep?" He said, "Oh, you are a pure devotee." And then Prabhupada said, "Why are you not a pure devotee?" So this is indeed this should be our meditation. This should be a constant meditation. Why am I not a pure devotee? What is in the way? And how long am I going to take? Slow and steady wins the race. Very slow. I mean, if you calculate just the average lifetime and how many years we have and how much have we already achieved so far, then at this pace, are we really going to make it? And we're going to go a little bit of the way, and then we need a lot of mercy to make it for the rest. That's risky to rely that much on mercy. So maybe we should put both factors are there, ultimately, in deciding whether this life will be successful or not. So maybe to put a little more on the side of endeavor, because devotional service is transcendental. It is part of the Ladini Shakti, the pleasure potency. It gives pleasure to Krishna. Therefore, devotional service never goes unnoticed. So, therefore, in the Krishna book, it is mentioned that Krishna is known by the name of Achyuta, the one who never fails to notice the smallest service rendered, even the smallest service rendered. Krishna notices, he appreciates. I like that part in the Nature of Devotion about Draupadi, where, Draupadi is being this robe, Dushasana is pulling off the side, this thing. At one point she realizes that she's helpless, there's nothing she can do. And she, at that point, when she realizes her helplessness, she throws her arms into the air and just, calls out, "Hey, Govinda, I'm okay. I won't fight anymore. There's nothing I can do. Now it's up to you, Krishna. Hey, Govinda." And then in the Nectar of Devotion, it's mentioned that Krishna says, "Whenever I remember how Draupadi threw her hands in the air in complete surrender and called out, 'Hey Govinda,' as he says, he says, my appreciation for her is increasing. So, I like that a lot, especially thinking about Krishna, who is not known to be forgetful. Krishna, he doesn't suffer from forgetfulness like I do, and all of you probably also. Krishna is remembering, and Krishna is remembering 2 hours, and Krishna therefore must remember again and again how Draupadi is surrendered, and therefore each time his appreciation for her increases. Just see, the nature of devotional service performed is that Krishna remembers it with so much pleasure that his appreciation keeps on increasing for the devotee. So, certainly, furthermore, in the nectar of devotion, it is said that pure devotional service is Sri Krishna accursing, or that pure devotional service can attract Krishna. Then it is further explained that especially pure devotional service performed on the platform of praying has the power to attract Krishna. And we see that amongst the residents of Vrindavan who are competing for the attention of Krishna, you see there are so many gopis that are competing for the attention of Krishna, and Krishna is attracted by all of their service. But when Radharani is present, Krishna is completely attracted to her alone. So that is the nature of devotional service. In praying, it is Sri Krishna accursing, it can attract Krishna. Whereas in other stages of devotional service, in the conditioned stage, devotional service may not directly attract Krishna to be face to face. Some journalist came to Srila Prabhupada and had done some homework, and he said he heard that the pure devotee always represents Krishna and acts according to Krishna's will. So he asked, how does he know? How does the pure devotee know Krishna's will? And then Rameshwara was his answer. He volunteered the answer. He says he knows it because Krishna reveals it from within the heart. And I said, no, not like that. When I want to know what Krishna wants, I just ask him. So that kind of connection with Krishna, being so close, so directly, Krishna so present, whatever you want, that is another level. It's different from praying to Krishna and saying, please give me a sign. And a flower fell. A flower fell. Yes, that's different. That's different. Different that I had this amazing dream. A dream. It's nothing more than a dream. I had a vision in broad daylight. Amazing, amazing grace. Amazing mercy, Krishna. Absolutely. Moments of mercy. Krishna says, yes, take a crumb. Here, take a crumb of mercy. Yes, take some inspiration. Yes, I'll give you an experience. Yes, take it. I'll drop a flower for you. Yes, no problem. You'll hear a voice. Yes. All these things may be there. But that's mercy. Absolutely. Krishna makes so many arrangements for us. But ultimately, this mercy of Krishna is not yet fully available. Because our impurities are blocking us access to that mercy. Mahamputasa Vasya Yoga Maya Samadhi Krishna covers himself. He becomes covered. So that covering is still there, and that is the problem. That Krishna remains always covered, even if a little bit of mercy comes our way.
that is for God, but just was always accessible.
Then you get the devotees that
make or the devotees that make mistakes
that actually offend the Vaishnava.
And then we see what happens is even worse. The book describes the net elephant offense, and it's described the net elephant goes into a garden and destroys the whole garden.
So, that raises a question.
Hare Krishna. Yep, that was the switch of the microphone. Interesting. There is a switch. I'm glad I got your mic. Mystical.
We were speaking about Vaishnava. And we were speaking in general how living beings become covered. Then there are offenses. We spoke about the net offense, kind of offense that destroys the whole garden. And that raises a question. In the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, text 40, it is said, may I become a that this. The credit from devotional service will never be lost. Somehow, then you get the most elephant offense. So, which of the two is actually stands? Which of the two is prevalent? The eternal bank balance verse 240, Bhagavad-gita, or the mad elephant? Well, we can think for a moment about some cases. Case of Aswatthama, or the case of Daksha, goat's head, and all these kind of things. And we see that although both of them, Aswatthama and Daksha, the reactions were very severe. And the reactions lasted for a very long time, but ultimately they get relieved from these reactions and are being restored in that position. Therefore, we can understand Nehabhikramana system ultimately prevails. Therefore, I'd like to offer another metaphor, and the metaphor I'd like to offer is that when one commits a serious Vaishnava apparat, then one's spiritual bank balance becomes frozen. It becomes frozen, just like the government freezes someone's bank accounts, be suspected of tax evasion, all bank accounts frozen. And suddenly a rich man has no more money. He's like impoverished overnight. No access. So, no more access. No access, frozen. But if one goes through suffering and ultimately over time, when the reactions are over, one can again get access to that bank account. That's one point I wanted to make. Another point I wanted to make is that Vaishnava apparat may not always take place on the level not always to a serious degree, but sometimes to a lesser degree. And when Vaishnava apparat takes place to a lesser degree, it may not completely uproot the whole garden, it may not bring us to fall down, it may not actually completely block our access to all spiritual advancement, but it can destroy our taste in devotional service, it creates new anattas within the heart, and it can reawaken material desires. it is said that Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakura writes in Jayavadana that a Madhyam Adhikari can be demoted to the platform of a Kanista due to Vaishnava Aparad, and an Uttama to the platform of a Madhyam. So like this, we can see some, and that may be relevant for us because that may be happening to us. That may be actually happening. We may actually go through that. That we are careless, and as a result, we are not getting access. As a result, we are being demoted. We are losing our taste. We are losing our spiritual strength, and again, and again, and again, for smaller disrespect things to the Vaishnavas. So therefore, this very careful attitude of being respectful to the Vaishnavas is always beneficial, without a doubt, to attract the mercy of Krishna. Okay, stop there. Any comments? What is the essence of Krishna consciousness? The essence of Krishna consciousness is although Guru Pada Svaya is first to take full shelter of the lotus feet of one spiritual master and treat him as one would treat Krishna. And if we do so, then all perfection will be attained. Prabhasanti Mahatma automatically will be achieved. So that really is the essence. That should be our central meditation. So many things one can answer to such a question, but if that is our central meditation, and then everything will be successful. And then, Yamakunata Mahatma and the goal of the love of God will be attained.
Thank you for your wonderful answer. My question is regarding this point of small apparatus, small disrespect. Won't totally destroy our garden, but will cripple us in devotional service. Could you give some examples, practical examples, of how you may come across this in daily life and what kind of apparatus you may make without recognizing it or realizing it, or how we can avoid it?
Well, there is, for example, Sanatana Goswami was staying in Jagannath Puri. He was having a problem because he had contracted these sores on his body. He had come to Jarika in the forest, drank back water, and he had this horrible sore in his body. He stayed in Puri together with Radhas Tampuri, and every day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come and embrace him. And at that point, Sanatana Goswami became very depressed. I mean, the juice on these oozing sores touches the body of the Lord. Big offense. Like, how can I tolerate this? Is too much. I mean, I don't know what to do. So he spoke about it once with Jagadananda Pandit, and Jagadananda Pandit gave advice and said, "Well, maybe you should just go to Vrindavan. That's anyway your probably go to Desh. That's anyway the place which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants you to openly serve." And you're here just for a while to be in this association, so why don't you just go to Vrindavan? That's it. So I think Goswami thought it was a great idea. But Lord Chaitanya said, when he heard about it, he said, This Jagga, who does he think he is? Jagga is just a boy. And you are a most learned, respectable person. Even I go to you for advice. Who is Jagga? Who in the world does Jagga think he is to give you advice? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I will never be pleased with anyone who doesn't adhere to Vaishnava etiquette." So that's one example. It's like how Vaishnava etiquette is very much emphasized by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So just transgressing matters of Vaishnava etiquette, some neglect of respect. And it can cause this kind of reaction to we become dry in spiritual life. There's a microphone coming your way so that the internet people can also hear you. It's for the internet people. Yeah. And now it doesn't work. Is it turned on? We can help. Okay. It's a motorcycle question. I've thought on this matter. You want to see what? And now you can look into
it.
Okay, well, we get the gist. I won't get exactly into the detail. I'll take the gist of what you're saying. I think that this Dhamma is an absolutely amazing place. And that it is an abundance here, an abundance in this town of the incredible mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that is everywhere. And everything is touched by that, even the motorcycles. Even people who are somehow or other who have not yet melted to the point where they actually greet others or look at them, even people who are so in all the passion that they cannot see others and they walk past them. When I was the temple president of Vrindavan, I was sometimes very busy. And one time I was in the guest house in Vrindavan, and the corridors are very narrow. And from the other side, Sridhar Maharaj, our ISKCON Sridhar Maharaj, came. And Sridhar Maharaj was well built. He was a wrestler before, and he's sort of, especially in the abdominal region, he was well developed. And, you know, he came down the other side. Anyway, I was busy, so I sort of mumbled something like, something like that. And he just stepped in my way. And then with his belly, pushed it forward like that and hit me with the thing. And it was very powerful. And I flew against the wall. And Maharaj then pins me with his belly against the wall. And he said, Karma Tanda, Jnana Tanda, Kevala Vishwara Vanda. He said, this path of impersonalism and of fruitive activity, these are simply pots of poison. So I was thinking, I was shocked, right? pinned against the wall and he's preaching philosophy. So I said, for a moment I was lost, and then it dawned upon me, he's trying to tell me, don't be so impersonal. So I go like, hi Krishna, all right, how are you? So somehow or other, in the process of devotional service, all these things will come out. It all comes out in the wash. It all comes out in the wash. So when I see such things, I'm sort of trying to not be disturbed. I'm trying to develop a little bit that mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, some sort of benevolent look from how nice we're all in the Dham, how wonderful, and you know, whatever little imperfections are there. It all comes out in the wash. Yeah. Which is a daily question. What's his name? That sort of at the end of life, those things stay on the bill. You know, it's still an outstanding bill, and the thing is still on there. Therefore, we see that even Srila Prabhupada in his final days was sort of asking forgiveness for any offenses that he might have inadvertently or might have committed to anyone in the course of preaching. He sometimes spoke strong words and so on. So Baba taught that lesson. So don't keep this thing, because you don't know if you get that time at the end of your life to do that. What Baba did. I mean, if we die, we just did some statistics, and in West Bengal, there are close to 10,000 traffic deaths. That's a lot. 10,000. It's quite a high number. Yeah. So, you know, what if the statistics get you? Bengal, I did some statistics about Bengal, because I'm supposed to write something. And Bengal has the highest rate of snake bite of all of India. You know, Bengal has a tuberculosis rate which is almost 700 times higher in the United States of America. What if any of these things get you? And it will be too late. Then what? And then we come to the gate of Vaikuntha and say, sorry. Sorry, sorry. I think it's risky. I think we should clear all these things. Even although I also think that exchanges between ISKCON devotees really are sometimes speaking somewhat in an insulting way are still not the same as an offense or which is based on an inimical action which comes directly out of envy, out of a desire to destroy someone. Because, you know, we are from a respectless background, right? You know, like the English language, especially American English, has this colloquial expression, the guy, right? This guy, that guy. Okay, in Hindi the word means cow. It's maybe not that the language is so respectful. English has only nowadays one form of addressing a person. You. You is for your dog, you is for everybody. Right? There's no way to be respectful in English with a form like that, you know. It doesn't have a polite form. My God, you know. What a language. So it's a real Kali Yuga language. So, you know, man, you can speak for 1 hour in one syllable words. In English. So it's no wonder that English became big in Kali Yuga. But the problem with English is that there's not much respect built into the language, especially American English, say to say. But, you know, which doesn't help us. Yeah. Call the guy in. I've said in the meetings, okay, call the guy in. The Vedic culture was much more careful. Much more careful. So I think some culture will help us if we absorb more Vedic culture. Okay, last question and then I'm going to go. It is an impossible. Yeah, go for it. You want the microphone? Who stole the microphone?
How do you express a negative feeling for the purpose of growth that you got from the devotee?
How do you express a negative feeling towards the devotee? In a respectful way. You know, if you feel like a negative feeling towards the devotee could be you've caught somebody lying about 20 times and then you just feel that it's really like getting a bit too much. So then there's a, you know, then you can just go up to the guy and just the guy and just say to him, you know, like, I'm sick of your lying face, okay? Yeah, hypocrite. And you can say something like that. But that might not be the safest way within the boundaries of Vaishnava etiquette. So I say that. Don't mind to bring up a sensitive matter. Yeah. It's sort of, on several occasions, I found that it looks really like you spoke untruth, you know. Syrup, syrup, sweet, sweet. Respect, respect, respect. Right? So isn't Satyam Priyam Satyam Priyam, present the truth like a Rasguna. But the truth must be spoken. Respectful, but it must be spoken. Okay, it's too late. 7 months now. Way over time. Thank you very much. Shubhadaraki. This is this is him, and this is us.
Thank you. Holy Son, then? That God's Son?
I'm going to go to the hospital. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to go to the next one. Thank you. Thank you.